All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Jerry's World Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry. You know, great friend of the program, GFOP, Nick, joining me once again. How are you doing, good sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jerry?
Can't complain. It's almost Friday, almost the weekend. Today is day number one of 50 straight days of football. I am excited. It's going to be a fantastic feast of the game that we love. But we are not just talking football today. We're going to start off with that as always, but we're going to talk some hockey, talk some baseball as well. But let's get right into it with the football talk. I'll let you take the reins on this one, good sir, starting with your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Jerry, I mean, this quick, right before I start here, this is the best month of sports. I mean, this is October, best month of the year when it comes to sports. We got baseball winding down, I'm sorry. We got hockey getting started, football's in full force. I mean, this is easily the best month of the year when it comes to sports. March is up there, too. That's another discussion for another day, though. It's October. I mean, I can't believe we're already here at this point. Someone wake up that guy from Green Day, am I right? yeah, we just had a great week. The Bills were outstanding. My fantasy team is back.
But okay, save that for later.
With the real football first. So, yeah, the Bills, man. Obviously, this was the story of the league this past week, in my opinion. I mean, it was a huge win for the Bills. They absolutely crushed the Dolphins after everyone thought their offense would just roll right through Buffalo like they did the Broncos. And, oh, it was going to be a shootout, and the Dolphins would win, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Buffalo whomped them. This game was over midway through the third quarter. They beat them by 4 touchdowns. And if they didn't rest the starters, they would have put a 50-burger up on them. I mean, Josh just owns the Dolphins. 5 AFC Offensive Player of the Weeks in 12 matchups against the Dolphins. And I got to tell you, if I was from Miami, I would just be so sick of Josh. But I'm not. I'm from Buffalo, and I'm loving it. This is the golden age of, in my lifetime, of the Bills. And I'm here for it, and I'm so glad I can witness this. The Super Bowl is back on. We may not be number one in the power rankings right now, but I think we're in a perfect spot. Man, vibes are so high right now, Jerry. What are your thoughts?
So I was wrong on how the game would play out. I was way wrong.
Can you
wrong.
Say that again?
I said I was wrong. Don't worry. I'm going to revisit your golden era when January comes. Don't worry. I'll come back for that. But I was wrong in how the game would play out. I thought it would be a shootout. I thought it was going to be a game of the season contender. Turns out that the game was a dud, honestly, from a neutral standpoint. Like, if you were a fan of neither team, you probably would have turned this game off after the third quarter, which I did, actually. I will be honest, I turned the game off at the end of the third quarter. I knew Miami had no chance of coming back. That being said, the Bills showed why not only are they the team to beat in the AFC East, but why they are the team to beat in the AFC right now. They have everything firing on all cylinders. The only blemish to that game was unfortunately the injury to Tre'Davious White, tearing his Achilles, and is going to be out for the rest of the season. But everything looked great. Josh Allen looks like an MVP contender per usual, okay, silencing all the doubters. The run game of Latavius Murray and James Cook looked fantastic. It's almost as if Buffalo finally has that rushing attack that the fans and the media have been clamoring for the past how many years now. The defense, once again, just top notch and making Tua look sick. But like I said, I was wrong. I thought Miami would have won. I thought it would have been a shootout. But Sean McDermott coached a great game on the defensive side. And Ken Dorsey is silencing the doubters and the haters in Buffalo who have been clamoring for him to get fired after his first season. And there's a lot of people that were doubting that man as the offensive coordinator. Not just like locally, but nationally as well. So all around, great week for Buffalo Bills, for the Buffalo Bills and their fan base.
Absolutely. Can I respond to that really quick?
Go right ahead, good sir. Go ahead.
It sucks for Trey, definitely. That's going to hurt. But one group that's not really getting the credit they deserve, I think, is the offensive line has been outstanding. That's really helping Josh, and that's really helping the run game. I think Osiris Torrence has been great. I mean, the rest of the line, they're just top-notch right now. This could be the best offensive line Josh has had, so I think that's really going a long way. And a fun fact I came across today, since 2020, can you guess which team has the highest NFL point differential, Jerry?
The Buffalo Bills do.
They do.
And raise that banner, boys!
Plus 573 since 2020. The Chiefs are number two. Almost 200 points behind them. I mean, that is just outstanding. That blew my mind today.
That's actually insane there. It's insane because of how Kansas City is 200 points behind them. You would have thought that Kansas City would have been closer to them or even ahead of mm-hmm. Buffalo. But the thing is, though, is like going back to what I said about the defense, their defense has been top-notch for the past how many years now? Well, they've been top-notch almost for the past decade, even, like, before Josh Allen came to Buffalo. Yeah. So, they're just continuing from that there. The Bills, they're in London this week. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium taking on the mm-hmm. Jags. How you feel this week?
I gotta be honest, Jerry, I'm a little nervous. I think, obviously, Buffalo's riding high from this big win this past week. I think this is a chance for a letdown spot. You know, we struggled against Jacksonville a couple years ago. And I think it was like 9-6 in that one game. I mean, just we can't have another performance like that. But yeah, I think Jacksonville that might be the best quarterback we're facing this year, besides Aaron Rodgers, who obviously got hurt in the first four plays or whatever. So yeah, I'm a little nervous, but just mostly that, you know, it could be a letdown spot. They should win. There's no reason they shouldn't win.
So you think this is the trap game?
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I mean, yeah, you are correct. Like history. Between Buffalo and Jacksonville, like, Jacksonville should be considered more of a rival than a lot of fans should realize. I mean, recent history does not bode well for the Bills against them. I mean, the 9-6 game, the playoff game back in 2017, yeah. But, no,
I mean, they just seem to play down to their level all the time.
Exactly. Not ideal there, but, no, I think the Bills should win that game regardless.
They should.
Are you going to take them in their game against the Jaguars?
Well, I heard a stat also that in Tottenham, the over is 5-0. So I will be betting the over. In fact, I already made my bet. I will be betting the over. I think it's 48 right now. So I placed the bet. We're going over. I think the Bills are favored by 5. So I'll take the Bills. I should have prepared my math before this because my score might not make it over. I'll say 28-26. I'm not sure how that shakes out, but we're going to get there.
28-26 is only 54.
Well, that's still the over. That's the over. I just wanted to make sure I was over.
Yeah, that's fair there. I think this one is going to be 30-20 Buffalo.
I'd be happy with that.
I'm going to take 30-20 Buffalo. I think Jacksonville will be that pain in the ass like for the first like three quarters, but then Buffalo will just pull away in the fourth because they're the better team.
I hope so. So, Jared, you want to talk about your team real quick?
Yeah, we can talk about
how... I'm sure you got a lot to talk about.
We can talk about how ass the New York Giants are. I mean, it has been abysmal to say the least. They got destroyed on Monday Night Football. They gave up 11 sacks against the Seahawks defense. Devin Witherspoon wearing number 21 like primetime Deion Sanders was, had a 99 yard pick six or something like that. It was pretty much just killed the game for the Giants. The offense is the opposite of the Bills and just looks completely lost and stagnant. Daniel Jones looks like he's robbing the Giants organization of $160 million. The offensive line just looks terrible as it has over the past few years. And Evan Neal was in the news recently just calling out the fans, and the New York media was not happy with that. So, yeah, a lot is going wrong for the Giants. And honestly, a lot of people want to put blame on one party, but there's a lot of parties to blame, in my opinion. Yes, Daniel Jones has sucked this season, but he's not the entire problem. The offensive line is putrid. Evan Neal's blocking his own teammates, for crying out loud. I mean, it was shown that he was blocking Darren Waller on a couple of plays. They don't have Saquon Barkley, so injuries to key players are playing a part as well. But then, I mean, I think it just comes down to execution of the coaching too, and it's just not there. So, obviously, a lot of issues after four games. If it wasn't for one half of football against Arizona, we would be 0-4, dead last in the league, and probably worse than the Chicago Bears in terms of draft position, just based on how everything is going. So we go to Miami this week, and I feel like that's going to be a game where I am not going to enjoy it, watching it, just because based on how we're playing, I can't see us winning. I can't see us giving up a low amount of points to Miami, and I think it'll be a bloodbath. Rebuttal there, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it could get ugly this weekend. Well, a couple stats I found this week that I thought were interesting. The Giants have already played 3 primetime games this year. They've lost all 3. Well, they've been outscored 94-15 in those games. And there are only 2 teams in the NFL without to run an offensive play with the lead this year. Jerry, do you know those 2 teams?
Chicago is playing. No, not Chicago.
No. They were up on the Broncos last week.
The Jets.
The Giants and the Jets. But hey, guess what? Oh, it's okay, New York fans. At least the Yankees are in the postseason, right? Oh, no, my bad.
Coming from a Guardians fan, I mean, your team hasn't had much success lately either.
That's fair. That's fair. We'll talk about baseball later. But also, another fun fact. Remember that famous boat picture with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Oh, yeah. They are like 30-67 in a tie or something like that.
11-93.
That's a lie. That is an absolute lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. Someone tweeted out that record, and it just makes sense. You look back at that picture, you're like, yeah, I could see them only winning 11 games.
Well, yeah, no, that's not the case there. I'm pretty sure it's like 37-63-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds more realistic, but... that was funny.
And the one probably should have been a loss, honestly, because that was a tie against the Commanders, which was our first.
Never forget.
Which was our first tie, like, in 50 plus years. I remember watching that game because it was last season. It was last season, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very recent. But yeah,
helped the playoff chances last year.
Huh?
It helped the playoff chances last year.
It did. Yeah. Well, we're ass right now. And I am kind of regretting, like, the fact that I am going to be attending the Giants game in Buffalo in 2 weeks. That's going to be
another primetime game.
Another primetime game where Daniel Jones has no success. I'm honestly not looking forward to, like, what's going to happen on the field. But, hey, at least I'm only driving 1.5 hours and not 5 hours down to New Jersey.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Next week we may be 1-5 by the time those 2 games end.
If you can win one of the next 2, though, I think the season's back on. I mean, you're right back in the hunt.
In the hunt. Yeah, it all depends on what happens in the rest of the NFC. But
yeah,
I can't see us winning either of those games. We'll be 1-5 and talkie season at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, not looking good, but hey, you know, like, yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays and Rays played 2 more games than the Yankees and got their asses handed to them, so
yeah.
It's a victory for New York sports fans right now. But,
very true.
Nah, let's take a quick look around the league and just kind of, you know, see, like, what else is going on there. I mean, other than the Bills and the Giants, you know, like we got our action going on. I mean, the Cowboys are playing the Niners this weekend. They're hyping it up as the game of the season, even though last week's game between the Bills and the Dolphins was supposed to be the game of the season. And I just kind of want to ask you about your stance on the Niners, actually, just because, like, you know, from you being a Bills fan and that standpoint, like, they're being talked about the best team in the AFC. But what about the Niners? Like, do you think they're the best team in the NFC? And could they possibly be the best team in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I think, I thought about that this week. I think it's between the best two teams in the league. It's definitely between the Bills and the Niners. I think if you look across, like, Bleacher Report, CBS, wherever you get your power rankings, I think the 49ers are atop the league anywhere you look. I mean, the Eagles are also 4-0. Cowboys are 3-1, but they look really good, and they've got a big matchup against the Niners this week. But yeah, it's the Niners for me. I mean, Brock Purdy, he's been very, very average, but he's been very, very good at being average. And that's just what they need to do to win. I mean, they got Christian McCaffrey, he's scoring 4 touchdowns a week. Deebo Samuel, when he's not just being a decoy out there, he's lighting up the field, running people over. I mean, they just get so many yards after catch. Their offense is, it's like the Dolphins, obviously, same system, or similar system, I should say. And yeah, they're just super efficient. And then, unlike the Dolphins, they had the defense to back it up, too. So, yeah, I think they, if the Bills aren't number one, I am okay conceding that to the 49ers at this moment. You know, we'll see how they do against the Cowboys this week. It'll be the first test. The Niners really haven't played anybody that good.
No, and ironically, the only team
that's
that
the
played
only thing against them.
Ironically, the only team that played them really tough was the Cardinals, and the Cardinals, like, yeah, they're not a good team, but like they've played every team tough. This is their true test. This is their first true test this week, and honestly, this game here, even though it's only week 5 into the season, like, that could shape up to like the playoff picture for the NFC as a whole, in terms of what goes on the rest of the season. I've thought to myself, like, looking at the Niners' schedule, like, if they beat the Cowboys, like, they really don't have any true tests, like, after that, because they play the Cardinals again, obviously divisional opponent. They play the Seahawks, and I don't think the Giants are a bad team, so, like, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to use that as an example, but I still don't think the Seahawks are that good compared to the 49ers. I think the only true test on the schedule would be when they play the Bengals, and that all depends on how Joe Burrow is in terms of his health, and then the Eagles. But that's so far down the line in the season, like, we don't know, like, what's going to happen by the time those two teams meet. But I'm looking at the Niners' schedule, like, it's very favorable for them just based on how they're playing after this game against the Cowboys is. And honestly, I think that the Niners could win that game on Sunday night and just go on a run just because of how good their offense and defense are collectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Just want to interject about the Cardinals. They're a bit frisky this year. I think they're frisky and fun. Josh Dobbs is playing pretty well out there for only being with the Cardinals, like, a little over a month now, so
he joined like he joined 2 weeks before the season began.
I know,
I'm sure.
Crazy. He had a bad week one, but since then he's been real sharp.
He has, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for a bad second half against the Giants, they'd have 2 wins.
Yep,
they'd have 2 wins. But yeah, no, I mean, so yeah, I'm in agreement with you. It's the Niners. I have the Bills like second, Eagles third, and the only reason why I say that is I don't care that the Eagles are 4-0. Like, their wins have not been convincing for me in retrospect. I mean, they barely beat the Commanders last week, whereas the Bills went into Washington and just manhandled them. So, common denominator opponent there. In terms of, like, now we got the good teams out of the way, let's talk a little bit about the bad teams, other than the Giants.
We talked enough about the Giants,
yeah.
Jerry.
Who do you think is in trouble the most right now?
Well, trouble in terms of playoff hopes, I think that's the Bengals. But trouble in terms of franchise as a whole, I'm not afraid to say the New England Patriots getting clobbered by the Cowboys. They don't have a quarterback. Mac Jones looks feeble out there. They don't have an answer right now. So I'd say the Patriots are in the worst spot. Ramondre Stevenson has been terrible. Ezekiel Elliott's outplaying him right now. I mean, they don't have any receivers. Hunter Henry's okay, but he's not going to make a ton of difference on offense when you don't have an elite quarterback. So, yeah, I'd say the Patriots had the worst loss this past week, that's for sure.
So the thing is, I'm actually going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you. And the thing is, though, is in terms of a debate kind of like rebuttal thing, I don't really want to try and do that, but I am going to agree with you. And going back to the Bengals, it's because Joe Burrow is not healthy. Although the Bengals may ruin his chances of being at 100% by playing him every week when he's not 100%. But I can get into that another day. But the Patriots are a bad football team. They are not good on offense. The defense is there as always, but it's an average defense. Like, it's not the defenses of the Patriots teams that we sadly grew up, like, watching and winning all the time.
They just got J.C. Jackson back.
Yeah, they did just trade for J.C. Jackson back. But I'm also pretty sure, like, they traded for him only because the Chargers wanted to get rid of him because he got arrested.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he's washed.
Yeah, so he's not, like, it's not that he's not good. It's that, like, well, he isn't really that good, but still, like, the Chargers were looking to get rid of him because he got arrested. So, but Mac Jones, putrid, gutless, heartless, feeble. He's not a good quarterback. He is not a good quarterback. As much as certain people want to go out on Twitter and joke with their rankings of quarterbacks, He's not the answer to replacing Tom Brady. Unfortunately, as a Ramondre Stevenson owner in fantasy football, I am not happy with the lack of production from him this season. It's almost as if a regression is hitting. And yeah, their wide receivers, they're not good at all. I'm really questioning like why Juju like left Kansas City to go there, but
yeah.
I mean,
Justin Fields threw a touchdown, everybody.
Did you start him this week?
Not in bad company, but in another league.
But yeah, no, I'm with you on there. The Patriots had the worst loss. They are in trouble. I mean, I didn't think that they were going to do anything this season anyways. But in terms of like where they stand, I think the more the Patriots continue to lose, I think Bill Belichick's legacy takes a little bit of a hit. And more so just Bill Belichick, like the coach's legacy doesn't take a hit. Bill Belichick, like, as a general manager, is like, what the fuck are you doing, like, building this squad?
Oh, definitely.
But
I don't know what they're going to do.
No, I don't know either. I mean, they have a win, so they can't go winless. I can't see, I mean, Chicago, if they win tonight, if they lose tonight, like, they may go winless. And they will hold two top picks in the draft, depending on what Carolina does. But, yeah, the Patriots are in trouble. But, hey, as a non-Boston sports fan, I am enjoying this. And you, as a Bills fan, I know you're enjoying this as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty much like where we kind of stand there for that. I mean, any other storylines that you were looking to talk about in regards to actual football before we hop into fantasy?
No, I mean, like you said, you mentioned briefly the Bengals. They're in trouble. I mean, Burrow looks terrible. He is a couple of weeks now removed from his calf injury, his setback. So maybe he's getting a little healthier. I mean, they need him. I picked up Tyler Boyd, but I don't have a lot of confidence in him right now, seeing how bad their offense is. I mean, they only put up 3 points against the Titans, who do not have a good defense anymore. I mean, it's very concerning. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they have time to turn it around and make a run and get to the playoffs, but I made a bet that they were going to win the division. And I am not looking. That does not look good one bit right now.
Oh, so, I didn't touch the North Division. I didn't touch the North Division at all in terms of making any bets, just because like I had a feeling it would come down to Baltimore and Cincinnati, but I really didn't want to make a monetary decision on what was going to happen in that division.
Well, I parlayed each division winner except two divisions where I wasn't sure. Like I had the Bills winning, the Bengals winning. Blah, 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 a bunch of other division winners, and parlayed it all together to hopefully hit, but it's not looking good now.
No, I mean, hey, we're only in week 5. Maybe the Bengals can turn it around. Maybe they can, but it all depends on what happens this week. Who are they playing this week?
The Bengals, that is a good – oh, Arizona. So they got to win that game. But like we said earlier, the Cardinals are frisky.
They are frisky. So is that game in Arizona?
I believe yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
I can double check.
I If it's in Arizona.
It is in Arizona.
Ooh. Ooh.
What's the line, Jerry? What's the line?
I don't know what the line is. What's the line? I like...
My guess. Whose line is it anyway?
I'm going to say Bengals are favored by 6.
You had the Bengals, but they are only favored by 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Essentially a home field advantage right there.
Well, not really. I mean, they're in Arizona, so... But yeah, they add...
Yeah, also true.
They're in Arizona. I don't think the Bengals fans travel that well, but... No, shit. I would take Arizona in the points.
Yeah, I mean, we can kind of transition this into our next segment here. I have my commissioner guarantee lock of the week here. My pick for lock of the week is Ravens at Steelers over 38. 38 just seems way too low. I heard we might get Mitch Trubisky in this game. That sounds like a ton of points to me. Lamar Jackson's been playing pretty well. They got all four running backs, Melvin Gordon, Justin Hill, Gus Edwards, and who's their fourth one? They got some rookie. Anyway, they got all four running backs healthy. I think they got a chance here to put up some points. That's my lock of the week, the over in the Ravens-Steelers game.
My lock is going to be the over in the Giants-Dolphins game. I mean, that's kind of a given there. The Dolphins' offense compared to the Giants' defense, which has been putrid as of late. I feel like the Dolphins could get close to the over themselves. But yeah. Obviously, like, I have some hope that the Giants will put up more than 3 points. But my lock is the over in the Giants-Dolphins game.
It's 47.5 if that changes your mind.
The Dolphins could probably put up 40 themselves, so I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over. And if
it, and then I did mention, oops, sorry, go on.
And if the over doesn't happen, that's just because the Giants' offense put up 3 points again.
Yep. And then I did mention the Bills and Jags. I'm taking the over in that game as well. Tottenham, the over is 5-0.
I'm going to stick with my Cardinals plus 3 pick, honestly. I think the Cardinals will be a tough opponent for the Bengals. I actually think they could probably win this game just based on how bad the Bengals have been as of late. But to be a safe, but to be on the safe side, I will take the points with the Cardinals.
Okay, I got you. So with that being said, do you want to transition in here to fantasy real quick?
Yeah, we can transition into fantasy real quick. I mean, it's been.
Are you sure you want to talk about your team? We're kind of having a. You had a rough week this week, Jerry.
I mean, you won one game. You decided to start talking shit again, getting on your high horse here. You're back. You're back. All right, and Frank talking shit. I've got beef with your dad now. I mean, all I've done is been his number one fan, and he just wants to talk shit about me. The only thing is, though, I will say this. The past couple of years, Frank has talked shit about me for no reason at all. And then after he talks shit about me, it's a downward spiral from there. So, Frank, you've been warned, okay? I don't know what voodoo happens, like, after you talk shit about me. I don't control that, but you've been warned, okay?
He did mention that he was nervous about being on the rankings this week because he was last year, and then he lost like 3 games in a row after that. So he was hesitant to do it, but I said, no, you got to call out Jerry. So,
he's got to call me out. Oh, yeah. I've got beef with the bloodline of the Fantasy Football League then.
Yeah. Right now, he's the head of the table.
He's the head of the table. I'm not acknowledging him. I'm pretty sure I have a winning record against him too.
I'll have to look into that. Maybe it'll be a game of the week someday.
Yeah, we don't face each other until like week 8. I looked into it. I was hoping it would have been sooner, but it's not. But yeah, no, my team was bad. My team was bad.
65 points.
I wasn't kidding when I said in the group chat, I did not watch football for over 6 hours. I did not check fantasy the entire time. Like, after I turned the Bills game off, I didn't watch football. I turned the Sunday Night Football game on at like 10:30. The second half had just started or something like that. I see the Jets are in that game somehow. I open up the fantasy app. I'm like, damn, my team is ass. And then I see that you're talking shit. I'm like, oh my God, it's just been a bad week altogether for me. But no, congrats on your win. Congrats on your win. Hunter had one job, but his team is straight booty cheeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Borat, it's over.
It's over for Borat. It's over for Brad. Beans gave himself some hope by beating me.
I'm nervous about Beans this week. I think he's got a good chance against me.
I'm nervous about Riley this week. I'm probably not going to win again this week, honestly. I'm probably not going to win this week, honestly, just based on how his offense is doing. Maybe I need the Jags defense to step up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Riley's offense has been really good lately. Second in the league in points per game. You got to give him credit there. Him and Beans have really climbed up the rankings lately, and yeah, they're scaring some of those top teams up there, I believe. So
yeah, they are. They really are. I mean, another team that's kind of coming out of nowhere, Brof's team, the oldest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Stafford's best friend.
Under the radar to start the year, but
yeah, Matthew Stafford's best friend is coming back too.
Yep.
It's good.
Get nervous?
Huh?
Get nervous? He's gonna pass you?
Nah. I mean, I own him right now. I mean, I beat him in the playoffs last season. I won our matchup this week. I'm not worried about Brof's team. I don't face him again until the end of the season because unfortunately, because of how the schedule is, he's one of only three teams in general I play twice. And it's just based on, like, order of the schedule there. But, no, I mean, I'm glad that you're not winless anymore. I will say that because, like, no team wants to be winless. I mean, that's not fun. I do hope Brad actually cares to give a shit a little bit. But I doubt that that's going to happen.
It's disappointing.
It is. But that's what happens, like, when your best player goes down and tears their MCL, unfortunately.
I mean, Echo's on a bye this week, and it's going to be tough for a lot of teams. There's not many running backs out there, but Eckler should be back after the bye next week, and that could him alone can change a season. So
who's got Jonathan Taylor again?
I want to say Beans. I meant to look into that earlier, but I forgot to.
Yeah, the only reason, I mean, he was activated off the PUP today. That's why. So, like, whoever has Taylor is going to get a huge boost, like, when he starts playing. And if it is Beans, then, like, damn. Good for him.
He gets Kamara last week back, and then he gets Jonathan Taylor. I didn't like his draft, but he floated around. He hung in the standings long enough, and now he's got two of his best players, two startable running backs back. I mean, that's good for him.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks there is that he's just got to make sure that he gets his roster like arranged like at a good time there to let Oliver know if it
does. He's got Jonathan Taylor in the lineup. I just saw.
Oh, is he setting that up on his own, or is he still telling Oliver? Like,
oh, hey. Yeah, it's been all him. I don't know what he's been up to in the military or the army this past couple weeks, but yeah, he's been active. So I did see that
he dropped. Like, I got the notification saying that he added and dropped somebody, but I wasn't sure like if it was him doing that or if Oliver was. Still,
yeah, just I think he's a lot more control of his team this year, which has been good for him.
That is good there. That is good. Unlike some other people that shall be nameless.
Right. One other thing before we move on, we got to give credit to Luke. 4-0. He's got the best team. His team is a wagon right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. His team is a wagon there. I mean, it'll be a very disappointing season if he doesn't win the title. I mean, I think it just comes down to last year where he probably should have won, but because of unfortunate events, like he was named co-champ. But I think like he could run. Like, depends on. Fantasy's always tough. You never know like what's truly going to happen like on a week to week basis. Like, I didn't expect my team to score 65 points after leading the league and scoring on an average basis for the most part for the previous 3 weeks. But Luke's team is a juggernaut right now. I mean, clearly the best team in the grad family, obviously.
Yep.
But I mean, kudos to him. Kudos to how he set up his roster. Kudos to his drafting. And you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I mean, I don't know when I face him. I don't know when I face him yet, but I'm not looking forward to it. That's for sure.
So,
but yeah.
Yeah. That's our fantasy talk.
That's our fantasy talk. That's our football talk. We'll move on. Next thing we'll talk about is hockey.
Okay.
All right, let's get into that hockey. And we'll start off with some Sabres talk again because we're Sabres fans. Zach Benson, I want your thoughts on him just based on, like, how he's been performing this preseason.
It's tough because I guess I am surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised, that is. I still think he's probably being a little overhyped, but you gotta love what you see so far. I mean, he's been lighting it up. I think my odds are, or my stats are correct here. What, 5 games played, 3 goals, 5 points in the preseason? I mean, I know it's preseason, but come on. And he is playing on the top line, so he's gonna get a lot of help there, but I mean, he's playing very well, and I got to be honest, I saw a jersey, like an Eichel remake to Benson on Facebook Marketplace for only $100, and normally, I wouldn't even have looked twice at it, but I actually thought about it. That's got to tell you how good he has been for the Sabres in the preseason, and he's going to make the team, it looks like, so it's exciting, that's for sure.
Your stats are correct there. He has 3 goals, 5 points. He is tied with Connor Bedard for the most points in the preseason amongst rookies, which is fantastic. The Sabres got an absolute stud with that pick in the draft, honestly. And with how he's been performing in the preseason, it's kind of like creating like a ripple almost into like what to do with him, honestly. Because honestly, he could play himself into a roster spot, but obviously, like, there is still the chance that they send him back down to juniors, but given the situation with his junior team, I don't think I would send him back down there, honestly, just because of how much of a shit show that they are. They just fired their head coach.
What happened there? I thought I saw that.
I'm pretty sure that the junior organization has been accused of some sort of misconduct, and the head coach like was a part of it, so they fired him. So they fired him and
they bugaboo.
Yeah, that's definitely not ideal there. So Benson's playing himself into a roster spot, like, on the team, and honestly, I wasn't expecting that. But hey, I mean, you know what? Like I said, the Sabres have looked like they've got a stud, even though it's only preseason. Obviously, time will tell. But do you think he, like, actually would, like, when opening night comes in a week from tonight, do you think he'll be out? Do you think he'll be there?
I believe it, Jerry. I think he's starting. I think he's going to get his 9 games, and depending how he does in those 9 games, I think the plan was always to send him back to juniors, but I think he's going to get his 9 games and then get sent back down. I mean, I guess there is a world where he continues on this pace and they simply cannot send him down. I mean, it's going to be hard to cut him the way he's been performing in preseason. If he keeps this up, he's not going back down. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. I don't know where he fits in the lineup, because are they going to keep him on the top line and have Tuck play the second line with, like, Cousins and, I don't know, Paterka, maybe? I mean, that doesn't sound that bad, really.
That doesn't sound that bad, because I was looking at the lines at practice from practice this morning. Yeah, they had him on the top line once again. And then, yeah, Tuck was back down on the second line with Cousins. So that won't be bad, honestly. I mean, the balance could be there, but it all depends on just how Benson continues to perform. Like, if he shows any signs of regression, obviously, like, there will be the opportunity, like, the chance that they do send him back down to juniors. But I mean, the thing is, there is that I'm shocked. I'm happy that he's performing really well, because, like, hey, we could potentially have the steal of the draft then if that turns out to be the case there. And, I mean, as a fan, I'm just looking forward to, like, having another young forward, like, show up, be ready to put in that offensive production on a consistent basis. And he looks like he's hungry, which is another great thing to see overall, too. I do want to get into, like, the goal. Once again, the goaltending situation. Like, UPL did not look good in the last preseason game. Do you think his time has come in Buffalo? Do you think, like, instead of putting Comrie on waivers, which we talked about last time, like maybe we should cut our losses with him instead?
Well, what I would do, and I'm sure Kevin has made calls and has, you know, fielded some interest, I would float his name out there on the trade market. And I think he has in the past. This wouldn't be the first time. When you go back to the trade deadline last year, Kevin Weeks tweeted about UPL potentially being involved in the trade somewhere. So I think his name's out there. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded. That's kind of my best case scenario, I think, at this point. You know, try to flip him for something. I mean, flip him out west where we're probably not going to see him. I don't know who needs goaltending out there, but someone who's willing to take a chance. Like, I don't want him to go to Tampa. Like, well, maybe it's not a bad idea if he goes to Tampa, honestly, if he keeps playing the way he's been playing. But, obviously, you don't want to see him turn out to be something good in Tampa either. So, yeah, I don't really want to cut him, but I don't know. With how many forwards we're going to have, like, if they treat Savoy like Seattle treated Shane Wright, and he's just, you know, a healthy scratch and plays his 9 games sporadically stretched out through the year, like, there's just not enough room to have 3 goalies. And Comrie's been playing well and good enough, I guess, to be the backup in preseason. So, I don't know. I think you got to move on, though.
No, I'm with you. I'm honestly with you there. The only thing that I have an issue with, once again, is if you end up trading UPL, like, who do you send him to? Like you said, you don't want him to go to Tampa, and he eventually turns into the second coming of their, like, a Vasilevsky down there, and can eventually replace Vasilevsky at some point. Don't want him going to another, like, conference rival that is in need of a goaltender, and hoping that he, and watching him eventually turn into a savior that anywhere else either, obviously. But I mean, also at the same point is, like, what are we looking to get in return for him compared to like what a team would give him? I mean, honestly, like, if it were up to me, take him and get like a fifth rounder at that point, a bag of pucks. I don't care. I said the same thing about Comrie too, honestly. But I mean, no, I mean, just based on how Comrie's been outperforming him in preseason and how bad he has looked, I think it is time for him to move. It's time to move on from him, unfortunately. I mean, he had so much hype and promise, like, coming in, like, when he was brought into the organization. But then, unfortunately, like, just, you know, it just doesn't look like it's panning out, unfortunately, yeah. There, so.
He's not that guy, Bill. He's just not that guy.
No, he's not that guy. At least not
that guy here. Believe me, I'm the biggest UPL supporter. I think he still has a future in this league somewhere. I don't think he's going to be highly touted as where we drafted him, what was it, 6 years ago now? But yeah, I think he still has a future in this league somewhere, whether it's a backup or a splitting a job with someone. And, I, it's hard because, like, I kind of wish he played better. Obviously, everyone wishes he played better in the preseason, because I think that would be a perfect match, having Levi and UPL competing with each other for the starting position. But he's not even competing for the backup position at this point. And we just can't do this in a make or break year like this. It's playoffs or bust for us right now. We have the longest drought. We can't just throw away 10 games this year if we're rotating in UPL and he lets in 4 goals every night. I mean, we just can't do that again this year.
No, we can't. I mean, those games where you give up 4 goals a game and you expect the offense to put up 5 or more, like, those games, as entertaining from a neutral standpoint, they are.
Absolutely.
Like, from a Sabres fan standpoint, like, fans are going to be having heart attacks, like, in the second period when it's a 4-4, when it's a 4-4 tie already, just because, like, whoever, like, the offense is putting in the goals, but then, like, 5-10 minutes later, boom, another goal is given up. Well, not 5-10 minutes later, I'm sorry, I take that back. 2-3 minutes later, a goal is given up on the back end there. And that just goes back to what we talked about along with the defense as well there. I mean, the goaltending situation, like you said, is we're supposed to make the playoffs this year. I firmly believe that's, like, where we stand. We can't have goaltenders that are just looking lost, like, altogether as a whole. Not even, like you said, not even competing for a backup position. Like, that's where I kind of wish, like, we made a trade. Not necessarily for Hellebuck, but John Gibson, like, wanted out of Anaheim. Like, the rumor mill was spinning with him. Like, I mean, I would have taken him, you know, go with Levi as a tandem there. But, I mean, if we're stuck with Comrie and he plays as decent as he has been playing as a backup in the preseason, I won't complain about that. But going into opening night and as the season progresses, if the goaltending situation, like, just looks lost as a whole outside of Levi, then I'm just going to be like, what the fuck are we doing, man? Why didn't we do anything? But, I mean, we'll see what happens, like, when the season starts, obviously. At this point, we're only a week away from opening night. I'm not going to, like, you know, moan as much as I did in the off season, saying we should have done something, even though I know we should have done something to address it. But, I mean, for other than the goaltending situation and Benson, like, anything else from a Sabres standpoint that you want to talk about?
No, we kind of talked about Kane a little bit last week. We talked a little bit about Zegras, but we saw he signed a 3-year deal, like 5.75 or something, which is a great deal for Anaheim. Not that they're pressed to the cap anyway. So that we can throw that away. I saw Brett Murray was waived. I don't think anyone picked him up, so he'll be going to Rochester.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just so many forwards. I mean, I don't know. Frank the Tank, my dad, he still wants us to sign Zach Cassian or someone who's willing to just be the 13th forward and sit every night except when we play Toronto, Boston, Washington, you know, those kind of teams.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree, but there's just simply no room. I mean, there's going to be injuries, but we need – I think we could use another defenseman, but it's not going to happen at this point until maybe the deadline or midseason. So, I mean, these are the guys, and I don't know, it's going to be interesting. What are you looking forward to or concerned about?
So, the thing is, though, is, like, I want to talk about, like, the videos that you sent me over the weekend that I watched. Going back, like, the 05, 06, and 06, 07 Sabres. We talked about it, like, after I watched them finally. Like, there's a lot of comparisons between those teams to the current Sabres right now. Like, we've got a lot of young forwards. A lot of moves weren't made in terms of the defense. They signed two. Those teams back then made moves for two defensemen. We made moves for two, three defensemen to try and improve upon the back end there. And then like those teams there, riding on a young goaltender. We're riding on a young goaltender. The only difference between those teams in 05, 06, and 06, 07 compared to now is at the end of 06, 07, like everybody was, like that video said, this would be the end of their short run because of cap constrained money that the team wasn't having. We don't have those issues now. As mentioned, we should be making the playoffs. If and when we make the playoffs this season, this could be the start of a run of consecutive playoff appearances and maybe deep runs in the playoffs, just based on like what we can do and also who we add on in the future. Obviously, I'm not going to look ahead to 2024, 25, and so on and further down the road yet. I'm only concerned about 23, 24 season and then what happens along the way for that. But again, like another thing I want to talk about in that video is like the teams that video mentioned that the Sabres like went up against in terms of like playoff contention are the same teams now that the Sabres are going to go up against in terms of getting into the playoffs. Ottawa once again, Carolina and New Jersey. And those teams were right there in contention 15, 16 plus years ago there. So, I jokingly said, like, oh, the Sabres are running it back. But we're not running it back to last year. We're using a method that we used 15-plus years ago to see what we can do in terms of getting to the playoffs. And honestly, if Kevin sees it that way, trust in Adams until all hope is lost, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, the videos I sent you, those were super well done, and they were just an awesome watch. It really got me hyped up for the season. And yeah, I agree, there were definitely some parallels and a brighter few, or at least a longer window to success than those teams had, like you said. I kind of disagree with you. Kevin hasn't really done anything to hurt our trust at this point. Obviously, you know, he handled the Eichel trade super well, as great as anyone probably could have done it. I mean, we made out pretty well shipping that problem out. It's tough because he's got to make that our Eichel trade now. I mean, we're not going to acquire a top six center, but we need to make that big splash, and that's going to be his new goal, or what we're going to judge him on. I mean, so far his drafting looks really good. It's a little early because you don't know how these top prospects are really going to pan out just yet, but obviously the cupboards are full. I mean, they look so good right now. I just want to pump the brakes on the Kevin Adams talk. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Like, he's done nothing wrong to this point.
No, I agree there. Like I said, I trust what Kevin Adams does until something like goes off the rails. And I'm not saying anything, knock on wood, nothing goes off the rails, but like,
right.
I don't like, you know, I don't have an issue. I don't, as of right now. I want to make sure that I'm clear about that.
I still think, I still find myself thinking back to that Beyond Blue and Gold where him and Pegula talked about signing Taylor Hall, and they said they're going to be cup contenders, and they finished dead last again. I mean, there's a lot of other circumstances involved with that, but this is still the same guy running our team. Let's not forget. So
that was a bad – the signing at the time, we were all excited. But
yeah.
Ralph Kruger should be tried as a war criminal, okay? Mm-hmm. Look at what that man did to Skinner and Dahlin.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Okay. He should go back to English soccer. Or wherever the fuck he is. I don't care. I just don't ever want him stepping foot in the arena again. Okay?
Agreed.
But speaking of Dahlin, I guess like we can go into our next hockey segment in terms of like awards predictions, seeing that opening faceoff is going to be less than a week away around the league. And I guess we'll start with the MVP, the Hart Trophy. Who do you got?
I'm going to take Connor McDavid in this one. That's pretty
bold pick. Bold prediction.
Yeah. If I had to make an honorable, I'll let you make your pick first, just so I don't steal your pick.
Okay, we're going to take Connor McDavid aside because like he probably will win another Hart Trophy. I am going to go with, and honestly, I'm going to go with Sidney Crosby, actually.
Oh, wow.
I think Sid could have a season like where he doesn't necessarily totally turn back the clock, but I think Sid could have a season where he kind of just takes the Penguins on his back and shoulders and carries them as far as he can, just based on how the team, like, they got better a little bit, but they also got older. But I don't know. I think Sid could have a season. I think Sid could have that type of season, like, you know, not in his prime years, but like kind of like where, you know, maybe like the second cup those runs there. I think Sid could have a season like that. I'm gonna go with Sidney Crosby.
I'll just elaborate my honorable mention. You're gonna hate it. But if there's a way this team makes it to the playoffs, it's because of him. And it's going to be David Pastrnak. I mean, he was in the running last year, and if the Bruins can make a run, it's got to be because of him.
60 goals last season. I don't hate the pick. I like Pasta the player. I hate the Bruins as a team, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm going with Sid just because, like, I feel like he could have, like, one last great season, and I feel like this could be it for him. If I have to go with a second, like, Sid is my pick. I'm not counting McDavid. My honorable mention.
I'll take McDavid.
That's fine there. My honorable mention would actually be Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay.
And fair. Just based on he was in the running there just based on how he carried Florida.
Yep, definitely.
So I think Matthew Tkachuk could be in the running again. Those are my picks there for that.
Sure. What's next?
Calder, rookie of the year.
Calder. Oh, do you want to say it? Well, let's say it together on three, okay?
Okay.
Ready? One, two, three.
Connor Bedard. I wasn't gonna count Connor Bedard. I was gonna say, but yeah, Connor Bedard's definitely gonna get the Calder. Fantilli is my honorable mention.
I have another honorable mention.
Devin Levi.
Nope.
No. Okay. Who then?
Arizona Coyotes Logan Cooley.
He's looked good.
Yes, I think he's like technically the top prospect. I don't know if he's played a game yet. I don't know if he got 9 games last year or whatever he did, if he got called up towards the end of the year. But, yeah, I think he's, besides, like, Bedard, he's, according to some lists, like, since he's already, like, played professionally, or I don't even know where he played, if he went to college or back to juniors, but some lists had him as the number one prospect. I don't know.
There were a couple people and sites that had him ranked ahead of Bedard. I know what you're saying there. So, but yeah, I mean, Cooley, good choice there. Obviously, it's Bedard's to lose just because of the hype. I think Fantilli could have a good season with Columbus. I mean, Columbus is going to be a bad team, but he's going to be the bright spot in that bad team.
Very true.
And they're going to rely on him a lot, so... I mean, the odds there are in his favor a little bit. Devin Levi will get some mention, though. Depends, like, in my opinion.
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
I think Devin Levi will get some mention there. Vezina. Who you got?
I'll take Ilya Sorokin from the Islanders.
You think it's Sorokin's to lose? Do you think, like, just in general it's his to lose? Or, like...
I think that's my pick.
Is he clear above the rest? Do you have an honorable mention?
No, I don't think it's clear above the rest. I think anyone can really kind of step out of nowhere. Like, look at Linus Ullmark last year. There's probably going to be another goaltender to take a leap next year that we were not even thinking about. I think Igor Shesterkin could probably have another solid year and make his case. But, yeah, I just think it's Ilya's year.
My biasness is kicking in. I'm going with Levi.
He's going to win Vezina, but not Calder.
If he wins Vezina, then obviously he should win Calder, but...
Didn't Shesterkin do this a couple years ago?
Pretty sure.
He was in both, but I can't remember which one he won. He won one, but not the other, I believe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the case there, too.
I guess it's not that outlandish.
But, yeah, no, I mean, like, I really... The hype is there. The hype is there. I mean, everybody knows what he's done in college. So I wouldn't be too surprised if it actually does happen. Again, goes back to the Sabres defense as well. Can't be giving up like 3-4 goals a game. But I think with Levi in goal, like he'll just be a shot stop. He'll just be a shot stopper, honestly.
I hope so.
He'll be a shot stopper, so Levi there. And, yeah, it sounds outlandish. He'll win the Vezina, but not the Calder. But, I mean, how many people, like, have won awards that they should have not, that didn't? So,
yeah.
Let's see. Norris.
Norris, I will once again take the best player at the position. I'll take Cale Makar from Colorado.
I am going to go with you there. I think that Erik Karlsson, like, deserved the Norris last season, but he's not going to have a season like he did last season. I think he's going to regress a little bit, and that just goes down to age catching up to him. I think Dahlin will be top three in Norris.
Yeah, I had him as my honorable mention.
Yeah, Dahlin will be top three as my Norris. I think that Adam Fox will be once again in consideration for the Norris as well. But, like, it's Kale McCarr to lose, and that it's to lose, and then after that, it's just pretty much there. The only way Kale McCarr doesn't win it is if he's, if knock, I don't, knock on wood, he doesn't get injured, but, like, that's the only way he doesn't get the Norris.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And then, let's see here.
Do one more.
Yeah, the
Richard.
Oh, I was going to say the Jack Adams Award, Coach of the Year.
Oh, okay, we could do that. Hmm.
Then we can do the Richard.
For that one, not the thing.
We can do the Richard. We'll do the Richard, then we can get to the Adams, because I have my Adams, but I'll let you think.
Okay, you do. So what should we do here?
Rock and Richard. That's most goals. Most goals. Yep. I'm going to go Austin Matthews.
I also took Austin Matthews. Honorable mention, Tage Thompson.
David Pastrnak.
Fair.
Austin Matthews, David Pastrnak. Tage is close, though. Tage is close. Tage will score 50 goals this season.
I really hope so.
Tage will score 50 goals, have about, I'm going to say right now, 50 goals, 100-plus point, 100-plus point season. I'd say about 107, 108.
I hope so.
And then Jack Adams Award.
50 and 100.
Yeah, Jack Adams Award. Who you got?
You go first.
Donnie Granato, baby. We are going to the playoffs. Devin Levi is going to win the Vezina. Don Granato is going to win the Jack Adams Award after ending the longest drought in the NHL and the second longest drought in North American sports. And we are riding the train, baby. Let's go.
Well, let's see. If I had to pick one right now on the spot, let's go with Rod the Bod Brind'Amour. I don't want to pick Lindy Ruff. I don't want to pick it was the guy from the Bruins. I don't want to pick him again.
I don't even know who's. I was gonna say Ottawa's coach is an honorable mention, but I don't even know his name.
DJ Smith.
DJ Smith. Shit. I haven't known an Ottawa Senators coach's name since like 2007. Okay.
Yeah. I hear you.
But, Ottawa's coach is my honorable mention.
Brad will like that.
Brad will like that. Ottawa's not going to be bad. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brad, you will take your wins and your losses with me there. But, Rod the Bod. This is a hot take, honestly. I like your pick. But if Carolina fails to, like, do anything in the playoffs this season, he may be on a short leash.
I don't believe that right now. I don't think that he's done anything wrong to...
hasn't done anything wrong per se, but...
You think the window's closing?
I think the window's closing on the Carolina Hurricanes. They're a great regular season team. But they haven't won a conference final game since 2006, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds about right.
And they have, every time they have gone to the conference finals, like as of late, they've got swept. I really think this is I think if not this year, next year, if Brind'Amour does not take them on a deep run to at least a cup final. They don't have to win the cup. They don't have to win the cup. They just have to get to the final. If it doesn't happen, then he's gone. But the thing is, though, is, again, Carolina probably won't do that because he has been their best coach in quite some time. But, again, I like your pick. I like your pick. I just think he's on a short leash right now.
Very very possible. I like your points, that's for sure.
But yeah, no, all right, we will see what happens there for that, and then, you know, just like I said, opening face-off from opening night's Tuesday, triple header on ESPN. Sabres opening night is Thursday against the Rangers. Are you going?
No, I haven't even looked at tickets, but I'm sure it's expensive.
I'm
looking forward to watching it at home.
I'm looking forward to watching it at home as well. Apparently, I saw today... Only 700 seats are tickets are available for the home opener.
Yeah, I can see it.
This would
I wonder what a StubHub says. I'll look real quick.
Keep talking. If they sell out the home opener, it'll be their first home opener sellout since 2019. Although I will say, like, obviously 2020, like, you can't do anything because that was COVID. 2021 obviously was COVID, and then like 2022, like, the team was just bad.
Were you there in 2019 that
That
year?
Was the 50. That was the home opener for the 50th season. Yes, I was there with my dad because that was the night that you guys all went to Courage Bowl, and I told like, well, some of you guys were upset that I was not there. Instead, I was at the home opener for the Sabres. And then I'm just like, sorry, I wasn't going to watch Fisher football get fucking manhandled, honestly.
Well, I was upset you weren't there, but I totally understand. Like,
no, I'm talking about other people.
I get it. You're mad at me. It's fine.
No, I'm not mad at you. that was an interesting. That was an interesting weekend. But not from my perspective. I wasn't in the area. But
all right, Jerry. Two tickets to get you in the door off StubHub. $67
each.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
No, that's not bad. What section is that?
311.
What row?
It is row. It doesn't say.
It's got to be like row 11, almost against the wall.
It looks bad.
It's almost like against. It's got to be against the wall.
Yeah, it looks way up there.
Oh, I sat up against the wall when I saw Bruce back in March. I was not a fan.
325 row 11 is $68.
Oh,
I don't know why 311 doesn't say the row. But.
That's against the wall practically. You only got two rows before that. But no, I actually did get tickets. Me and Jeff are going at the end of the month to actually see your Norris Trophy prediction. We're going to see Colorado. That's a Sunday afternoon game, actually.
Very nice.
Yeah, the Giants play the Jets, and honestly, that's a snooze fest. And Jeff wanted to go see a game before the weather turns to crap, so I was looking at weekend games. The only other game that like would have been plausible would have been like the week before. They play Saturday night. Like, I think it's the 21st. They play Saturday. That's a Saturday. They play against the Islanders. But with that being a night game, even though like coming back after that wouldn't have been bad because obviously Sunday. I prefer the afternoon matinee game, honestly.
Yeah.
Also, I prefer the opponent, too, so.
Yeah, so what's your prediction for Thursday? Do you got one?
The Sabres are going to win 4-1.
I actually almost thought the same exact thing. Just to be different, I'll take
4-2. You should help out my Vezina case and say 4-0. Levi gets a shutout.
I actually was thinking 4-1 in my head, but I guess I'll go 4-2.
Two goals from Tage, a goal from Cousins, and. Should Zach Benson make the opening night roster? A goal from Zach Benson.
Okay, who scores the very first goal of the season for the Sabres?
Dylan Cousins.
Okay, never mind.
I said two goals from Tage. I didn't say when he was going to score. I said a goal. I said two from Tage, one from Cousins, one from Benson.
Hey, I'm kind of surprised. The Sabres haven't tweeted out their new goal songs yet. It's got to be coming soon.
Disappointed. I was disappointed because, like, I came close to see, like, everybody was trying to ask Skinner, like, what his goal song was going to be, and he was mum about it when, like, back at FanFest.
Yeah. I wouldn't be against some of them keeping it. Like, I hope Tage kind of keeps his. Skinner could keep his, or go back to Party in the USA.
Bring back Miley.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see.
So am I. I like that they're doing that. I like that they started doing that. Like, that's fun. Got to bring you, Oh, this, you may like this. When I was at FanFest and nobody actually said anything about it, DJ Milk was not there. So I think they fired DJ Milk.
DJ Milk is off the books finally.
DJ Milk is off the books finally. Yeah, we're cutting our losses with DJ Milk to save up the funds for Patrick Kane, baby.
We should hire him for the Bad Company draft next year.
Oh, God. I'd rather hire Stu Finer. I'd rather hire Stu Finer. Half the league won't know who Stu Finer is, but no, I would rather.
He would bring the energy.
He would definitely bring the energy. I mean, him and Frank the Tank, the new gruesome twosome.
So should we move on here from our hockey talk? We spent a lot of time talking about it.
We did. We spent quite a bit there, almost as much as football. But yeah, let's move on to baseball. All right, yeah, we're going into baseball there. I mean, last week we gave our predictions. Wild card series have come and gone. Saturday begins the divisional round. Well, let's revisit those picks real quick. I mean, you had the Rays going to the World Series. I mean,
what? I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah, we can revisit. We can make new picks. I mean, the wild card series, in my opinion, doesn't really count anyways. I've never been a fan of a wild card game or a wild card series. I've always thought the four teams in each league was the way to go. But let's revisit real quick here. I'll say I was disappointed with how the wild card series turned out, honestly, with all four of them ending in a sweep. And yeah, going back the last 2 years, like, only one of them ended up being going to a game three. But, I mean, Rangers are moving on. Twins are moving on. First series wins in 21 years. They beat the Blue Jays. Phillies are moving on, rematch against the Braves in the NLDS, and the D-backs, the only road team to advance in the postseason so far. Where do you stand? Like, how do you feel about everything so far? What are you looking forward to?
Well, the first thing and the biggest thing is there's been a lot of talk about the weakness of the AL Central over the past year or two, or even more. But I just want to point out, over the last 2 years, American League Central teams in the postseason have gone 6-3. I mean, that's not bad. That's pretty good. However, teams from the American League East who supposedly play in the best division, since in the last 2 years, have a combined record of just 3-14. So where I need to know some answers here. Is the AL Central really that bad? Because these numbers aren't indicating that. The AL Central is a wagon when it comes to the postseason.
The AL Central has a team in the postseason still that won their first series in 21 years. And the other team in the AL Central that you've mentioned blew a series against the New York Yankees twice. Last year in 2022, and all the way back in 2017, okay?
You're picking out two very unique instances when you need to look at the big picture here.
Those only three wins by the AL East are by the New York Yankees. Everybody else sucks.
Don't lie, Jerry.
Okay, everybody else sucks. As a Yankees fan, I'm winning right now. Yes, my team was bad, but the Blue Jays and the Rays, they talked all that shit.
They sucked.
Just to come and join me on the couch for two games more. Let's go. Yep. But yeah, yep. I mean, good for the Twins. Good for the Central, honestly. The Central in the regular season, like, obviously not as entertaining as the AL East is. But hey, only one team from the AL East remains out of three, so you may
I
have
just
a point.
Think the AL Central is a bloodbath every year, that these teams have a hard time, you know, putting up the wins because they're just so competitive year in and year out that it just takes a lot out of them, and they just don't get up for these other games. And
yeah,
they don't win as much. These other teams aren't as good. They play down to these other divisions level. So
yeah, the 40 win Kansas City Royals put in a great effort year in and year out. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, but as a whole, yeah, the AL East sucked in this past couple days. The Blue Jays were terrible. What a terrible – I mean, I was rooting for the Blue Jays hard because I hate the Twins. And
I was rooting for the Twins because I hate the Blue Jays.
So it was reversed here. But what a terrible decision it was to take out Berrios at 47 pitches after he was dealing against his former team. You never take out a starting pitcher in a revenge game. That's rule number one, especially in the postseason, in an elimination game. I don't know what the Blue Jays were doing. It all fell apart after that. Vladimir Guerrero gets picked off at second. I mean, what kind of that's just a terrible blunder. That can't happen with your best player up at the plate. Two outs, two guys in scoring position. Just can't happen. And I'm going to put this label on him until I see something real out of this core. This Vladimir Guerrero, Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, he's not even doesn't even deserve to be in the discussion, but because he's part of the juniors and stuff, whatever. This core of the Blue Jays are frauds. They're never going to get they got to make a big step next year. Otherwise, they're just frauds to me. The Rays, they – whoever picked the Rays was just a terrible decision.
Not me.
I should have They should have looked at the roster. If you picked the Rays, you should have looked at the roster closer. Should have looked at the lineup. I don't know.
Whoever picked the Rays probably thought Wander Franco was still on the team.
Yeah, yeah. And fun fact, Wander Franco's girlfriend was only 7 the last time the Twins won a postseason game. Or it probably wasn't even born.
-7. -7.
Yeah.
You said that wrong.
Yeah, right. -7. But, honestly, I think I was most impressed by the Rangers, and I thought they would be deflated after blowing the division late in the season like that, like they did to the Astros. But I give a lot of credit to Bruce Bochy. I think he knows how to operate a team like this, especially in October with all his success in San Francisco. I think I give him a lot of credit there. Moving over to the National League, I'm very happy for the D-backs. They will be my team that I will root for going forward. I've never heard of that fat guy who started game one. I'm happy for former Bisons manager Tory Lavullo. I hope they go crush the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers. I thought it was funny, and what a clown move by Marlins man sitting in the front row in Milwaukee when his Marlins are playing in Philadelphia. What a clown. Can't stand that guy. He's a clown. Go D-backs. And then lastly, the Phils. I mean, you were there last year. That atmosphere just looks electric, and what a series it's going to be against Atlanta. I cannot wait. I like Bryson Stott's walk-up song. One other thing. Did you hear Carl Ravitch's line before game one where he basically said, Trey Turner is getting ready for his first taste of postseason
baseball. Yeah, yeah. 2019 World Series champion.
Postseason game. A former World Series champion. Oh, ESPN, do better. I mean, come on.
I'm just glad that ESPN is done with baseball for the rest of the season. I'll start with the Phils there. That atmosphere, yes, I was there last year. Like, that was a fun time. I actually, like, you know, was looking back at photos because it's almost a year now since I was down there at that game. But I saw the video of, like, Stott's Grand Slam with no commentary, and that video is just absolutely electric with the crowd reaction there. Red October is in full swing again. Ryan Westfall, he's definitely happy about his fighting Phils again. You know, he's dancing on his own. But that should be a good series against the Braves. I just wish that instead of it being a best of 5 again, it was a best of 7 this time. But I mean, hey, division series always going to be best of 5 unless Manfred gets greedy. But going to the D-backs, sticking in the National League, good for the D-backs. Going into Milwaukee, being the only road team to win their wild card series, great on them. They get to go. Their reward is going to play a 100-win Los Angeles Dodgers team, who I think they could take to the distance, honestly. Just because those two teams know each other, played 13 times in the division this season. I mean, and they actually have their better pitchers pitching games 1 and 2 against the Dodgers going into the series. So that actually will give them a boost as well. Going on the AL side, LOL at the Tampa Bay Rays. They started out 30-9, had a 99-win season, and just laid a huge egg against the Texas Rangers in their series. Not only on the field, but in the crowd as well. They only averaged like 18,000 in the Trop. I mean, that is honestly pathetic there. You can't have less than, you have to have like 95% or more capacity like in your home stadium for the postseason, okay? Like to not even have like 80% of the stadium filled for two games is beyond ridiculous. And just get out of the Trop, get out of Tampa. They should relocate. What a joke of a franchise.
Going to Buffalo.
I was going to jokingly say move them to Montreal, but I mean, they actually like were promoting that in the last postseason about splitting games, so you know it's bad. I mean, so it's just bad there. Honestly, I don't know where the Rays go from there. They'll I hope they take a step back, but I mean, we'll see what happens. And then, yeah, Toronto just, so that movie up in Toronto has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 11%, and an audience critics score of 1%, just because of how bad that movie has been up there. The core, like you said, they're frauds. Their pitching has not been great. John Schneider taking out Berrios, like, what were you doing? Vlad Guerrero, when he got picked off, I thought I was watching the New York Yankees. Just based on how bad that base running is. Although I also thought I was in Yankees Bizarro World because Sonny Gray threw to Carlos Correa to pick him off. Sonny Gray, former Yankee, Carlos Correa linked to the Yankees the past couple of seasons there. And Michael Kay was on the call there. So it was a little bit of Bizarro World from a Yankee standpoint. Like, hey, that's what could have been. But hey, we've got Volpe. I'm not complaining. And Sonny Gray did okay, but like he's doing well now in Minnesota. So good for him. Their reward is playing the defending champion Astros, and the Rangers get to go play the Orioles there. What are your picks?
All right, my picks, we'll start in the American League. I am going to take the Astros over the Twins. I'll say four games. I'll give them the Twins a game. And then Texas and Baltimore. As much as I want Baltimore to win, I think I'm going to roll with Texas in five. I think Bruce Bochy's doing some big things down there. We'll get a battle of the West in the American League Championship Series. And then if we go to the National League, I want the Diamondbacks to win, but it's going to be tough beating the Dodgers. I'll take the Dodgers in five. And then what a doozy here. Our last series, Phillies and Braves. I am going to take the Braves and stick with my pick, but in five games. I can't wait for this series. It's going to be great. I'll be happy. Well, I'm just looking forward to that. Whoever wins that series, as long as I hope that the winner of that series can beat the Dodgers. Championship series, I'll take Houston over Texas. They just got that championship pedigree, similar core all these past years. And then I'll take Atlanta over the Dodgers. And then we'll, like I originally predicted, the Atlanta Braves over the Houston Astros actually, I didn't give them my games. I'll take the Astros over the Rangers in six, and I'll take the Braves over the Dodgers in seven, and then I'll take the Braves over the Astros in five.
Wow. Okay. I like it. Rematch of 2021. Where the Braves actually should have probably won in five games. They just manhandled the Astros that year, but they won in six. I'll stick with you with starting the American League, work my way. Twins Astros, I am taking the Astros like you in four. Astros in four, give the Twins a game. They'll probably win game three at home, but then lose game four to have their season closed out. I am going to take the Baltimore Orioles over the Texas Rangers in five. I think that series goes the distance. Like you said, Bochy's got them firing on cylinders. Jordan Montgomery is shoving. I miss him as a Yankees fan. And Aroldis Chapman doesn't look like complete dog shit right now. So we'll see what happens there. Also, the offense is looking good for the Rangers too. So going over to the National League, as much as I hate the Dodgers, I have them in four over the D-backs. I said the two teams know each other, but I just think the Dodgers are a better team. Their pitching will concern me just a little bit, but I think the offense gets it done more so than what the D-backs have to offer. And then I know I said I had the Braves going to the NLCS originally against the Dodgers, but hey, we can revisit our picks now that we have a bracket. I'm going with what I saw last year, and I'm going to stick, and it's going to be a repeat of last year. Phillies in four against the Braves. My National League Championship Series, I have the Dodgers over the Phillies in seven. I have the Orioles over the Astros in five. And then my World Series, I have the Orioles over the Dodgers. It's going to be a rematch of the 1966 World Series. Although, unlike the 1966 World Series, where it was a four-game sweep for the Orioles, I think it will be Orioles in six.
Wow. I mean, I hope so. That'd be great.
That would be great. Good for baseball, bad for the A. Hey, good for baseball, bad for the AL East as a Yankees fan. But you know, hey, it would show that the AL East is the dominant division in baseball.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for the Twins. I'll tell you that.
Anybody but Houston for me right now. As much as I'm picking the Dodgers, I would love for them to get upset again, just like they did last season. And I just think the Phillies, like, in that environment, like, if they steal a win, if they steal a game in Atlanta, it's going to be like last year again. The Braves are going to go into Philly. They're not going to know what hit them.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately, I will not be going down to Philly again this year. That just was pure coincidence and luck with me just for why I was down there. So I said, fuck it, I'll go to a game. But, no, that's where we stand on baseball. Division series starts on Saturday. All four games are going to be Saturday, and then baseball hopefully every day until like teams get eliminated and we get into the AL and NLCS there. But anything else you want to talk about? What else is on your mind, good sir?
Nothing. I think that covers it for us for baseball. I mean, I guess we could just move into finishing off our show here. Did you happen to catch any of the Ryder Cup this past weekend?
Unfortunately, I did. I mean, Friday morning, I woke up and I saw that we were down 4-0 to Europe in the foursome. So I had a feeling like that we were toast already, and we looked flat on Friday. Saturday, I watched only a little bit in the morning. I did not watch the rest of it in the afternoon because I was at the game against Clemson, and then Sunday we tried to make a comeback, but Europe was just too good. We came out flat Friday, very disappointing. We haven't won a Ryder Cup on European soil in 30 years. That's going to continue probably for quite some time, in my opinion. Next Ryder Cup is in 2025 at Bethpage Black down in Long Island. But what about you? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was looking forward to watching more of it this year. I think since the last Ryder Cup, I've watched golf more in the past 2 years, or grown to like watching it more. But I was a little disappointed. I couldn't watch it as much as I was hoping. Obviously, the time difference didn't help that. It was nice to have on in the morning, but I just didn't pay as close of attention as I would have liked. And like you said, once we got down 4-0 early, you kind of saw the writing on the wall. So, you know, I'll be looking forward to 2 years from now, and you know, hopefully U.S. can bring it home then. So
hopefully
that's about it.
Hopefully, I just find it hilarious that like when the Ryder Cup comes, and then even with the President's Cup, we're rooting like from a golf standpoint. Like during the season, there are certain golfers that everybody likes, but when that time comes is for the Ryder Cup, it's like, oh, I can't like John Rahm because he's on Europe. I can't like Victor Hovland because he's Team Europe. If you're a European and you like Scottie Scheffler or Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas, it's like, oh, I can't root for those guys because they're on the opposition. So that there like is something I always have a good laugh about there. But no, I mean, I don't know. I will say that with golf season being over, I am a little disappointed. The club, from a personal standpoint, the clubs are officially out of the car. The weather is going to turn to crap, so I'm sad about that. But no, I mean, you know, anything else on your mind? Like, what? Anything else on your mind that's not relating to baseball or football or golf or whatever?
Well, there's a big wrestling pay-per-view this weekend. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the big WWE news lately. We've got Fastlane in Indianapolis on Saturday. I'll probably be tuning in later in the evening if I'm not doing anything. So
I'm probably actually going to watch the whole thing tomorrow, actually. I don't really have any plans tomorrow night. Or Saturday or Friday? I'm sorry, Saturday night. I don't have any plans tomorrow, Saturday night. I meant to say Saturday night. See, it's almost Friday. My brain is starting to go a little bit just based on how we've been doing, just based on, like, you know, whatever. But Saturday night, yeah, no, I don't really have much going on. I mean, the weather's going to be kind of crap, too. So, like, if I have nothing really to watch, I know Notre Dame is playing. Notre Dame is primetime NBC, but they're playing Louisville, and Louisville's not that good. So, well, no, Louisville's actually undefeated, but still, like, I think Notre Dame should have that game in the bag early on, and I can watch Fastlane there. I'm looking forward to Rollins and Nakamura again. I think Nakamura could actually win the world title. And the only reason why I say that is because if Rollins' back is as bad as he says it is, I think they'll have him lose. That way he can take an extended leave of absence and not only take care of his back, but also be with his kid.
Yeah.
So
do you want to make all your picks? I mean, there's only, I see only five matches on the card. It shouldn't be, it's a B-level pay-per-view. It's not like anything super
No,
big.
It's not. It's a B-level pay-per-view, but like the matches, like they're not terrible. Like
I agree.
I will say that like some of the build-up to these matches have been dragged out, more particularly with the Judgment Day just being dragged out. But I think that's all going towards Survivor Series, but we could talk about that as time goes on there. But
agreed.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just I'll make my picks here. We got Cena. I don't even know if you mentioned him yet. Cena and LA Knight, taking on Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. You know Cena and LA Knight. Cena's not coming back to lose to the Bloodline, so I'll take Cena and LA Knight. And I think it's setting up for LA Knight versus Roman Reigns, which I don't really agree with. But that seems to be the plan. Then Seth freaking Rollins taking on Shinsuke. And I think you said you were taking Shinsuke. I'm going to take Seth in this one to retain the championship. Did you want to make your picks as I go along, or do you want me to make them all?
So go ahead and make them all, and then I'll go ahead there.
The women's triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship, it's actually the WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky versus Charlotte Flair versus Asuka. I think Io's going to retain. I don't really see any title changing hands at this pay-per-view. It's kind of just a B-level one. I don't think any major changes are going to take place here. Finn Balor and the Damian Priest, the Judgment Day, taking on Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. I like the Judgment Day a lot. I'm not really looking forward to this match. Jey Uso, I'm a little over it right now. And I don't know, the whole Cody and Jey storyline, I'm not really into it. Judgment Day is going to retain. And then lastly, the LWO taking on Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. I love Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, this new group they're forming. And they're going to womp the LWO. They're going to squash them. I mean, it's going to be a fun triple threat match. It's not actually going to be a squash, but yeah, they're just going to, I mean, they have a bunch of small flippy guys, and Bobby Lashley is just going to throw them around. It's going to be great. I'm taking Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
So to start off with that one, yeah, I'm going to go with the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley just because, like, honestly, like, it's not that I'm not huge on the LWO. I like that they brought the LWO back, kind of like going back to like when we were growing up. But I find the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley to be more entertaining. So I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna go with them in that match. In regards to the tag team titles, I like Priest and Balor. I like them as individuals. I wish that they would get that push more so from an individual standpoint. I mean, I feel like both of them are deserving of having individual titles. But from a Judgment Day standpoint, I feel like that's just dragged out way too long. But I think that, again, we can talk about it as time goes on. I think that'll come to an end either at Survivor Series or next WrestleMania. But
that's not over.
It's not over now. It's not over now. Yeah. I think that the Judgment Day will retain. You can't have Cody Rhodes come in and win a tag team title, like, especially with all that he's been going through, that they've had his story go through over the past 2 years.
Yeah, that's not finishing the story.
No, that's not finishing the story. I'm getting into that there. Women's triple threat match. I'm going to take Io Sky. I feel like that they like her title reign, so I feel like they'll have her hold the title for quite some time, even possibly up to Mania in April, and then take it from there. Again, I have Shinsuke winning against Rollins. I think if Rollins' back is as bad as he says it is, it's more along the lines they'll let him lose, and then he can take that extended leave of absence, get his back healed, and also he can be with his kid, and also him and Becky can be with their kid. And then Cena and LA Knight versus Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. Cena has not won a PPV / PLE match in 5 years. The last one that he won was against Triple H at Crown Jewel in 2018. So history does not favor Cena, but I mean, like, the push that Cena... Like, the push that LA Knight has been getting, they're not going to let a fan favorite like that lose to the Bloodline. Yeah. So I'm taking Cena and LA Knight. I think it'll be an entertaining match. I'm just trying to figure out if there's going to be outside interference in that match or not. I know Roman's not going to make an appearance until next week at a house show against Sami Zayn. I did read up on that, but I'm just trying to figure out if there's going to be some sort of outside of interference, maybe from LA Knight and Cena's standpoint there, but maybe, maybe not. The outside interference will definitely come from the Judgment Day, though, in their match against Cody and Jay. But, no, B-level pay-per-view should be exciting. The matches on paper don't seem terrible. I mean, the WWE as a whole, like, has a the interest is increased tenfold. Not just from crowd standpoint, but also from, like, viewership as a whole. Like, with the PLEs, with house shows, with Raw and SmackDown. I don't know what happens in NXT. I actually don't pay attention to that one, so you can't.
Very good. Very, very good right now.
I know that Johnny Gargano is back. I watched the end of Raw Monday night, so I guess DIY is back, so that's good for that. That's good for that standpoint there. I will say that I don't like a lot of, like, main branders going onto NXT. Like, I do see that people are not a fan of that, and I guess if NXT is more for, like, the next generation, keep it that way for now.
Well, I have comments about that. Like, they've done a really good job, like, using main roster talents who don't really have anything going on and bringing them down to NXT and kind of working with the next generation, and I think that's been beneficial for both parties. But this Tuesday, because of the MLB postseason on TBS, AEW Dynamite, which is on Wednesday nights, got moved to Tuesday, which is NXT's night. So WWE has put on their A lineup to try to steal away any viewers AEW is going to get. So John Cena is going to be on NXT. Cody Rhodes is going to be on NXT. Asuka.
Paul Heyman's going to be in Braun Breaker's corner. Yeah, you got Braun Breaker versus Carmelo Hayes. And I guess those are two of the top stars in NXT as well, right?
Yep, very good. Yeah, they're going to be top stars, hopefully, for the next 10 years, you know, whenever they do come over to the big leagues. But we'll see.
Yeah, maybe I'll take a sneak peek. It looks good. It's looking good for next week. So maybe I'll actually take a peek. Tuesday night's like, I don't know. I just miss ECW. I miss ECW, but I know that's never coming back. NXT does get raved about a lot, so I can't say anything bad about it if I don't watch it. But maybe I'll give a look on Tuesday. I mean, depends on what's going on with the postseason games that are happening that night. But my last thing I want to say about wrestling is that Adam Copeland is in AEW, and it looks like he's working alongside Christian Cage again. Like, not as a team, but they are working the same storyline together, which is what Adam Copeland had wanted to do. So that kind of just brings back the nostalgia of the days, like, when Edge and Christian, like, were the dominant tag team in WWE. So maybe, like, just not watching AEW, but following along with that, like, should be fun as well, just from a nostalgic standpoint.
Yeah, I agree.
And also my last thing in terms of wrestling, I guess. Again, I know I don't want to go into Survivor Series too much, but it's in Chicago. Do you think they bring him back?
If I had to guess right now, obviously there's a ton of rumors. If I had to guess right now, I'd say no. I'd say no.
I think
it'd be wise not to, but there is a lot of money to be made there, so never rule it out.
I mean, we did see The Rock in a random episode of SmackDown last month, so I guess at this point anything is possible. I keep seeing, like, fan theories about, like, if he were to come back, since it's in Chicago, since that is in Chicago, like, last match of the night or whatever, all of a sudden, like, the last match ends, whatever that is going to be, and however they do Survivor Series, and then all of a sudden, like, last match ends, it goes silent, all of a sudden his music plays, and he walks out, crowd goes nuts, and it's like, well, if that happens, the money's there, but he's also an idiot.
Yeah,
you can't have in the locker room. You can't have a toxic person like that coming into like what is looking good for your company. So, nostalgic purposes, yes. Standpoint of like how things are right now, no, don't do it. But that's where that's all I got on wrestling. Anything else before we wrap up, good sir?
No, I think that's about it for me.
Yeah, no, that's about it for me too. The Commanders fucking suck. Holy shit.
I know.
Down 27-3. I got on in the background. I know you got on in the background too. I haven't really been paying attention, but damn. You know, the Bears, they're winning for Dick Butkus, the greatest Chicago Bear of all time, okay? The leader of the Monsters of the Midway. Unfortunately, only played 9 seasons because of chronic knee problems. But hey, they are winning for their late, great legend tonight. And hopefully for him, they can keep this lead. And also, you know, you don't like to see a team go 0-16, honestly. So if they get that first win, you know, maybe they'll build some confidence not only for them as an organization, but for Justin Fields as a quarterback too. I'm sure he's pretty sick and tired of hearing all the bad noise that the networks have been giving him and the organization. So we'll see what happens there. But RIP to one of the greatest of all time in the history of the NFL, quite possibly one of the greatest defensive players of the history of the National Football League, Dick Butkus. But with that being said, I don't have anything else. I mean, you know, we'll see what we got going on next week, and we'll go from there, good sir. But always a pleasure, and until then, just keep on keeping on.